The following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It is being offered as non-copyright material, so please feel free to share it with others.
Good morning. 1 Peter, please, chapter 4. Again, if you need an outline, we have them, and we will be doing three services today concerning the same subject matter. So let's pray together, shall we? Father, we come before you today. We recognize, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit, you have designed us to receive from you. So Father, today as we come together surrounding your word, we know that your very perfect design in us to receive from you through the Holy Spirit will be at work. So Father, thank you for meeting us where we are in life, for showing us of your great and marvelous ways and plan, Father, and for causing us, Lord God, to be changed because we've come in contact with your eternal word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me, if you will, please, in 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's begin reading in verse number 10 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me give you the kind of formula behind all of this, or the basis for what we're doing today. In verse number 10 it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, if you will walk slowly with me, I would like to show you a couple of things that will help you, hopefully, understand the painful process of coming to grips with what God says inside of you. Many of you have very interesting slants to you because of how God has spoken to you. So for an example, we spoke before we started recording this morning about the fact that we took some prison training Friday night. Jerry and Larry and I went to Sterling and took prison training. Now, since this probably needs to be a little bit more careful about how we talk about that training, let me just say that it's not the highlight of our year to go to this training, because it has so little to do with what burns in our hearts in ministering to jail and prison people. I mean, it has so little to do, because the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and there is this passion, this burning, this thing that you can't even put words to inside that says you have to do this. Okay? Now, all of you, to one degree or another, have some of that inside. Okay? You have some of that weighty, awkward, uncomfortable thing on the inside of you that God has put there. He keeps talking to you about it. When you see what relates to it out in the world, you go, "Oh, somebody should fix that." Okay? And so you have this thing on the inside of you that God put there, that many of us have difficulty processing. That thing has a name. The Bible calls it an oracle. Now, you say, "Oh, that's a stupid name." I understand it is. But it is such a great word when you look at it. It literally refers to the weightiness, the importance, the power, and the action that God's Word brings on the inside of us. It's different for probably each of you. That weightiness that God's Word has. For example, how many of you can drive by a homeless person and not think anything about it? I can do that. There are other of you who I've talked to. I know one person in this church who keeps snack bars and things like that in the little cubby holes of their car because they cannot drive by a homeless person without giving them something. And so they went out and bought the $1.98, you know, protein bars, and they keep those things in their car so that when they drive by, they can give something. I can drive by without it touching my heart. I go right on by. wave. When I see the sign there that says man with a family that needs work, I said, I got some work for you. Okay? It doesn't touch my heart. Now don't look at me and go, well, you should be different than that. See, you're starting to get the oracle thing that's in you. You think I should be different based on your standard. Ah. The standard that is in you is a reflection of Jesus Christ in you. So I think, for example, that everyone should understand that a little bit of teaching will help you. The oracle in me is when people pray, I get teaching stuff. That's why I don't often pray in groups, because then I find myself in a corner with a notebook writing down what I'm supposed to teach next. People say, why aren't you praying? Because I'm learning how to teach. See, I have this weighty thing on the inside of me that always functions that way. And so people look at me and go, well, you're just so different. Well, okay. You can take that up with God. Because there is a weightiness of God inside all of us. Now notice, if you would please, in verse number 10, and let me support this to you. It says, as each one has received. Each one has received. Not a person sitting in here or a person under the sound of my voice has the guts to take issue with this verse. This is the very revelation of God. You can say, well, I don't have one. You are a liar. I hope that Froggy gets caught pretty soon. You have to understand, the Bible says each one has received a gift. So here's your test. If you would please, if you have received a gift, please raise your hand. I'll wait for everybody to raise their hand. Okay? Because see, some of you are going, no, I don't got one. Yes, you do. You may not necessarily fully understand it. You may not fully grab it. You may not quite get it. But inside of you is this gnawing uncomfortableness about the things of God in your life. And you, at times, cannot understand why somebody else sees something so radically different than you do. You say things from that part in your life to other people, and they look at you like you're from another planet. That is the oracle, or the weightiness of God's Word on the inside of you. And it's different for all of us to some degree. That's how come the body of Christ is described as a body. If we had a multiplicity of big toes in the body of Christ and they were randomly placed, the body would not look nor function properly. Correct? How many of you would like a big toe growing out of your forehead? It doesn't belong there. It doesn't do the functionality that it was designed to do when it's placed there. Does that make sense to you? And so each of you, excuse me, each of you as a part of the body of Christ then has a gift, and it should be, look at verse number 10 again, each one has received a gift, minister to one another. The purpose of what God has placed on the inside of you is for the benefit of others. And here's where it gets kind of dicey. Because you oftentimes don't understand it, you don't think anyone else can benefit from it. So you won't operate in it. You will pull back from it. And you'll say, well, I don't know where this fits. If I had a nickel for everybody who came to see me privately and said they didn't fit in the body of Christ, I would be a wealthy man. What do you mean you don't fit? See, what they're saying is, I can't find anyone else like me. Okay, I understand that, but if you think of the cellular completion of a body, each cell has an individual function, doesn't it? And so, to some degree, while it's related, if you pull one cell out right here, technically, and I know I'm getting way off here, but if you pull this out, there is a hole there where the function of that cell goes. And it is not like every other one. So if we pull you out of the body of Christ, the body of Christ loses function because you say, I don't have a gift and I don't know what to do with it. So here's the first point of having an oracle. Stop talking that way. Stop talking that way. Oh, I don't have a function. I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. It rumbles inside of you, and occasionally, when it gets strong enough, it almost burns. Remember Jeremiah? In fact, that's in our notes here. over on page number 2, Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Have you ever had that in you where no one else seemed to get the power of what God just said? No one else seemed to have their wheels turned with that? I've met so many people. You ever wonder what makes a missionary become a missionary? It's not in most of you. It doesn't burn in you to learn another language, go to another place, and leave all your family for the rest of your life, right? I mean, unless you need some help with that, and we can ship you out of here. But for most of you, you know, I was talking with Jerry, and they have lots of missionaries come through the school down there. And he was talking, he said, I just want to make sure I don't tell God that I don't want to go to Africa, because He'll always, you know, kind of do what... He'll put it in you and let it burn. He'll put it in you and let it burn. You won't be shipped off to Africa without it being burning inside of you. Okay? Sorry. I know that a lot of you are very careful about that. But what's in you, you should go ahead and let it come out. Because there are people who have been designed by God to connect with you to bring a function into the body of Christ. I remember recently in one of our rural pastor's things, I asked Sheriff Chad to come and talk about security in the church. Now, because we're out here rural and because there have been things that have happened here, we have a little different appreciation for the necessity of security in a church. And God has sent us people like that. He started talking. I'm telling you what, those pastors were absolutely clueless. They were absolutely clueless. When Chad talked about where he sat in the church and what God had called him to do, because see, Chad has an oracle, okay? I know we don't talk this way, but I want you to start. Chad has an oracle, something spoken of God to him. He actually uprooted himself, probably from a better paying job, in an area with much more advantage, to move to Yuma, Colorado, with his city wife, right? To be the sheriff of Yuma County, which in the past has become a fairly long-term proposition. So this man has chosen based on what God has said in him. Now you can say, well, that's a calling. That's more than a calling, because it's so specific. Right? All of us are called to be witnesses, right? Right? But how many of you have a specific area that you're really good at? In that witnessing thing? Right? See, excuse me, I think of Kevin and Lola back there. There are not two people in my knowledge in this church who have more of an expression of the joy of the Lord. Just call Lola up sometime and ask her to pray for you. You won't get PRA out your mouth before she starts. And she's excited about what God's doing. Now, you say, well, oh yeah, but they're just that way. No, God has spoken to them, and there is this powerful, weighty experience on the inside of them that they can't get away from. So each one has received a gift, past tense. If you're born again, you have one. Are you with me? I want that. I want all of you to remove from your vocabulary that you don't have a gift. Excuse me. That you don't understand. It's in there. Okay? That's first thing. Secondary, it has a purpose. Look at verse number 10 again. Minister to one another as good stewards. You know what a steward is, right? Somebody manages somebody else's stuff. We know it's not your gift. We recognize that. So you are a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Why do you have the weightiness of God's Word on the inside of you? Because God looked down and said, here's a good person. Is that the case? Did God look down and say, well, here's somebody who will do really good with this? No. He said, here's my grace, And because I've given you this grace and how I've designed you, it will manifest itself in this way through you. It will manifest. See, many of you don't realize how little opportunity you have to change what God wants to do in you. Think of it this way. If you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God knew you before you were formed, and He had a plan for you, then every molecule, every atom, every cell of your being was created by God to go and be in a particular direction and be a particular way. And then He said, now when you get ready, when you get to this place, I'm going to pour this thing called grace out on you. My experiences, my understanding, my wealth, I'm going to pour out of you. And because of how I've created you from the foundation of the world, you are going to act and react and be this way. You have so little choice, it's amazing. So let me tell you this. When you think you have a choice, you should call that choice rebellion. That'll get you, won't it? You should call that choice rebellion. Any time that you educate yourself away from God, you're making yourself a smart idiot. Because you're moving away from the very foundational creation integrity that God made you to express. He made you to express this. And I understand that that thing on the inside of you that you can't explain, that you just stutter around going, what? I mean, I'm going to pick on lots of you throughout the day today, but I'm going to pick on Jerry again. Dear God, the man's old enough to retire. He is retired. And he's going off to Bible school. What in the world possessed him to do that? See, worldly people can ask that question. Spiritual people ought to go, look at the oracle that man has. Now, I know we don't talk that way, but something happened on the inside of him in the reception of God's Word that made it absolutely, actionably necessary. He had to do something. You all have that, by the way. Yeah. Are you all going to go to Bible school? No. No. Some of you are going to do things that are so necessary that God thought before you were born and put together the personality type profile, caused you to grow up, put you through circumstances. Did you hear me? Put you through circumstances. See, some of you think, and you're always cussing out what's happening in your life. Dear God, what's happening in your life are the circumstances by which God designs to create in you the ability to walk where He's called you to walk. Because your gift is for someone else. Of course, we pray, why is this happening to me? Come on, how many ever prayed that way? How many ever asked that big question, why this ever happened to me? I'll tell you what, I had a pity party in some of the circumstances I faced in my life. Until I realized that burning on the inside of me because of the experience that I had, burning on the inside of me is now the ability to talk in a different language to people who have experienced or who are experiencing the same thing I did. I am now much more equipped to talk about it. You say, well, that's too bad, Pastor. You had to go through all of that. If you think it's too bad, you are focusing on the decay of your flesh. Well, it's too bad you had to go through that. Well, it's supposed to die anyway. Right? That old part of you that says, please give me comfort. It's supposed to die anyway. And so, what do? You cooperate with that. Now, let's keep reading. Verse number 10. Each has received a gift. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks. Now, I don't know who wants to exclude themselves from this. Okay? If anyone speaks, based on verse 10, if anyone with a gift who is serving others through the manifold grace of God, if their mouth moves, If their mouth moves, let them speak one way and one way only, as if the oracles of God. This word, if you have an outline, in your outline, there's all kinds of little reference things there. It literally means, let him speak, look at the Jameson Fawcett thing there, let him speak as divinely inspired words that are not his own. That's what I'm talking about, that thing on the inside. Now let me show this to you in a passage of Scripture that I find interesting. In the book of Numbers, towards the front of your Bible, the fourth book of the Bible, Numbers chapter 22, look with me if you will, at this story. Now, in Numbers chapter 22, Balaam is a prophet of God. Balak is a king, and Balak asked Balaam to come prophesy against the nation of Israel. He says, hey, come over here and speak a word against these people so that I can have control, basically. And you all remember the story when Balaam gets on his trusty donkey and the donkey can see the angel, right? You remember that story? And Balaam is just whooping the tar out of this donkey, you know? And finally the donkey turns around and says, I've seen the angel three times and you're beating me up. You know, I'm saving your life and you're beating me up. And look at verse number 20 or 35. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that shall you speak. That's that burning thing. He said, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send you to this whacked out guy who's going to offer to pay you, who's going to treat you really nice, and is going to ask you to curse Israel. But you can only say what I put in you. So what God put in him was so powerful that it overrode everything else in his being. He was not able to be tempted. The guy offered him, I mean, come on, what did he have to offer? All kinds of powerful things. And by the way, had Balaam done this, Balak would have likely taken him into the king's house, and he would have lived out his years in utter luxury. He'd have got the best of everything if he'd have just done what the king said. But you see, God put something inside of him that completely overrode all natural sensibilities. All natural sensibilities. So, many of you have several oracles at work in you. The oracle that happened inside of you that said church attendance is important, it overrode almost everything else. You have an actionable necessity for coming to church. Many of you get up on Sunday morning and there is no question in your house. There was never a question in my house, but because I was getting paid to do this. By the way, let me correct something. I get paid to prepare to do this. Okay? I come here for free. I get paid to prepare. I'm doing this part for free. Monday through Friday, I get paid to prepare. Anyway, many of you don't have the question. Your kids don't get up and say, well, are we going to church today? If they do, educate them. We're going to church on Sunday. If you get up and ask yourself the question, educate yourself. The power of God's Word inside of you should motivate you to make an attempt to do what He's asked you to do, including fellowshipping together. Now, if you look over in verse number 5 of chapter 23, it says, then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. Remember, only say what I say. Balak had asked him to curse Israel. They'd set up seven altars. They'd sacrificed and burnt things and done all kinds of, you know, gyrations and so forth. And verse number 7 says, and he cooked up his oracle. Now, if your Bible doesn't say the word oracle, It's only been translated into some sort of prophetic utterance, and I want to stay away from the idea that it's a prophetic utterance unless you can keep this definition with it. It's a prophetic utterance to you, for you, and through you. Okay? Actually, it's just that weight of God's Word inside of you, that thing that just sits in there that says, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. We were coming home Friday night with Jerry, and I'm going to pick on Jerry again. And Jerry, I don't know if that was the first time that happened, but Jerry said from behind me in the car, he said that the last time he was at prison, whatever I said made him think he was going to die in the prison. And I said, it never entered my mind not to say that. I don't remember. Do you remember what it was? Oh, that's Charlie. There's a guy at the Burlington prison, looks like Charlie Manson. And he comes to our service. And I look over and there's Charlie Manson. And we were talking about how they had to come up against the things on the outside. And I said, now take Charlie Manson, for example, over here. They're going to let him loose. And people are going to judge him on the outside because he looks like a mass murderer. You know? Now, I never thought not one second about not saying that. But Jerry was looking for a place to hide. Because inside of him was not the same oracle as I have. And so I had the weightiness of God's Word exploding out of me. And that was a perfect example to show how people could be judged on the outside. How many of you, if that guy came to our church, and I'm telling you what now, he looks like Charles Manson, doesn't he? if he would write a swastika on his forehead, you people would be absolutely petrified of this man. I mean, he is scary looking. If he get them big old wide eyes and a swastika up here, dear God, you guys would throw him down and cast the devil out of him so quick it'd make his head spin. And you judge him because of that. You see? You would. And so, again, whatever it is that's kind of boiling on the inside of you, bubbling on the inside of you, that's part of it. Now, some of you say, well, I don't have anything like that. Okay, let me help you in this case. Why did Balaam get picked by Balak? Anybody have any idea? He already had a reputation. He already had a reputation. How many of you have a reputation? If you need a piano player, are you going to call Lonnie or Gail? Probably. Gail plays for more funerals than you can shake a stick at, or has, and you know, she might be the new Betty Finn of Ray, you know, because she always gets the phone call, that kind of stuff. You know, if you have a reputation, people recognize that. Now let's go clear backwards. If you have a gift, if you have a gift, and the manifold grace of God is being pushed out of you by that gift and minister to other people, why do people ask you for those things? It's because it's in you. Some of you people who are struggling with this, why are people attracted to you? You say, well, they're attracted to me for all the wrong reasons. Yeah, then you ought to change. But what about those who are attracted to you for good reasons? What is that? Where does that come from? Why would somebody pick you? Again, take advantage of what God is putting on the inside of you. Let's keep reading. And he took up the oracle and said, Balak the king of Moab, this is verse 7, has brought me from Aram, mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me. Come and denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? See, he speaks what's on the inside of him. Jeremiah had an interesting process here. He said, I'm going to quit thinking about you, God, because all you ever do with me is make me say negative things. He said, I'm not going to think about you. But he said, that's in your notes, top of page 2. It says, sometimes I tell myself not to think about you, Lord, or even mention your name. But your message burns in my heart and bones. I cannot keep silent. You ever met anybody like that? You all know people who can turn... who can turn a common conversation into a sermon. Larry Hilbert has a button. People don't realize. Do not push Larry's button. He has one. If you ask him the right question And really, the question can morph because he has the same answer for whatever question, you know. If you ask Larry how he's doing, he will tell you about God. If you say in your hipster way, what's up, he'll tell you about God. He has one button. If you talk to him, you'll be pushing it. You will be pushing it. He's tried to save every truck driver that's ever delivered a load of fertilizer because they pushed his button. It's not his fault. They pushed the button, right? And what did they do? They turned him on. Many of them leave there thinking he's the craziest person they've ever come in contact with. They don't know anybody as radical about God. Man, he's way out there. I mean, the guy is out there, you know? It's all he does is talk about God. You have to understand something. When God makes you and matures you, what do you think he wants to come out of you? See, that's that weightiness of God's word on the inside of you. Look down if you would, please. Verse number 11. Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done? I took you to curse my enemies. So look, now you've blessed them bountifully." Verse number 12. Balaam answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?" That's one of the greatest definitions of that power on the inside. You have to pay attention and take heed to what God has put in you. Okay, now let me, throughout these three services that we're going to do today, I'm going to use the book of Nehemiah. So if you want to find it, I'm going to use the book of Nehemiah to show you how Nehemiah utilized this idea of having something burning on the inside of him, having this weightiness. So again, bottom of page 1 in your notes if you want to read, the oracle then can be described as an impartation of God's words that will bring us to a place of weighty recognition of the power, importance, and actions necessary. See, that's what it is. The power, the importance, and the action necessary. And so you have that on the inside of you, and you should begin to pay attention to that. You should begin to pay attention about how your spirit man kind of captures what God says, how it places an importance behind it, how you sense that there is a power inside of it, and how it motivates you to take action. Look with me, if you will, please, at the first chapter of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, the son of the H guy. This is Nehemiah writing about what happened to him. He's going to be careful how he words this, so let me just help you. If you will look down in verse number 4, it says, "So it was when I heard these words." Now what had happened was, people had come back from his city, Jerusalem, come back from his country, and said, things are in a mess there. Now this is during the Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah, Ezra, and some of those kinds of folks were all there, and these guys went out, Ezra in particular, went out in the first deportation back into Israel to rebuild. But Nehemiah was their leader. He heard that the city was in ruins. "When I heard these words, I sat down," this is verse number 4, "I sat down and wept and mourned for many days." Now, I don't know about you, but there have been very few things that have happened in my life that have caused me to be mournful for very long. Right? If you've lost a loved one, you've spent days, weeks, sometimes months, and sometimes years getting to grips with the loss of a loved one. But not very many things cause you to mourn like this. Here's how you know this is what God said to him, this is what he heard, is it produced in him a significant action. He began to weep and mourn for days. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you can make this up in you? How many of you can decide, well, tomorrow, what I'm going to do tomorrow, okay, is I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to begin my plan of weeping and mourning for the next 4 days. I'm going to get some burlap sacks and some ashes. And I'm going to sit out on my porch and I'm going to throw ashes up in the air and I'm going to wail and moan. You cannot plan to do this honestly. This is something that represents the very depth of the nature of who Nehemiah is. If you miss this, you'll just think, well, this is just what God's plan was. It's true it's what God's plan was, but His plan was to use Nehemiah. His plan was very specific. Again, each one has received a gift and should employ it in the service of others, thereby displaying the manifold grace of God. That's what our Scripture told us as we got started this morning. So again, Nehemiah had something that produced in him this weighty recognition of the power, the importance, and the action necessary. Look what he did. Verse number 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, You who keep Your covenant and mercy with those who love You and observe Your commandments, please let Your ear be attentive and Your eyes be open, that You may hear the prayer of Your servant, which I pray for You now, day and night for the children of Israel's servant, and confess the sins. How many of you, honestly, have ever thought it was important for you to confess the sins of other people? I mean, unless you've heard that message, you don't go, well, I'm just so burdened down by this. I'm so weighted. I'm so stirred on the inside that, Lord, just please forgive that person, those people. See, if you don't do that, if you do that without the weightiness of God's Word inside, you know that you'll just be a criticizing, judgmental, bitter person. When you point out the sins that need forgiving of other people, you know, like, oh, please forgive them, you know, because they're such a jerk. You know, I mean, when you start pointing that out to God, He's not at all impressed. He knows their heart. And your addition to that doesn't wake Him up and go, oh, yeah, I should be working with them. Right? So this is something just, by the way, how many of you recognize that people pray differently when they get something kind of different that really cranks them? Have you ever been in a group praying with people and realized that that person has this serious swerve? You know? I mean, they're over here. You know, we got people in our church. Let me just pick on a few of you. We got people in our church who pray because they have a political swerve. Oh, Lord God. Electric, you know, I mean, you listen to them pray, and they're really serious, man. They want a godly president. They want a godly senator. They want, and I agree with that, but you probably won't ever hear me pray that way. You'll say, well, you should be more involved. No, God chose you. Go ahead. I'll let you. Well, you should change. No, thanks. Because you see, changing to be like you is an excuse for disobedience. That always feels so good when you hear that. Because God made you an individual with an individual motivating thing on the inside. How the Spirit of God speaks to you and caused you to move. So He spoke to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah prayed. And I want to tell you, he prayed differently than some. Look at verse number 8. He says, remember, I pray. When you are reminding God in a very powerful way of what He once said, you can kind of realize that you got it. Remember, I pray, the word that You commanded Your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you, but if you return to Me... See, he's reminding him of something that has not yet happened. The if you return to Me. What did Nehemiah receive on the inside of himself? I'm going to lead these people out of captivity. Why would he pray this way? If we return, You'll bless us. Look at it in verse number 9. But if you return to Me and keep My commandments and do them, through so some of you are cast out to the furthest part of heaven, yet I will gather from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as My dwelling for them. What's happening? He's reminding God of what's going to happen. So here's how a person with an oracle prays. They pray as if they understand what's going to happen. They pray as if they understand. And it causes great difficulty Because when you pray for something, you know, I had a pastor email me the other day, and they're just getting ready to start a church, and he says, my prayers are changing. I said, yeah, you're praying as if you're a pastor. He wasn't one yet. He didn't have anybody to pastor. But his prayer changed. His prayer changed. Nehemiah's prayer changed. Your prayer will change as you begin to receive the weightiness of God's Word. It'll begin to put in you that importance, that power, that action that's necessary. Look down to the 11th verse. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah's circumstances are not conducive to leaving. Who knows what a cupbearer is? We've got 2 minutes to figure this one out. Kevin? Somebody who tastes the king's food. Who do you want to have as your cupbearer? Somebody you trust. Nehemiah didn't sit around and go, well, I'm very trustworthy. You know, people can trust me. I always do what's right. He wasn't tooting his own horn. They recognized that in him. The king appointed Nehemiah to be his cupbearer, and that trust that God had created him with was now going to be what God used to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. When he got there, the place was a mess. It was overwhelming. He had no help. And the minute that he got started, people attacked them. So in our next service, we're going to talk about operating in the oracle. Right from this place where you realize God spoke to him, had created him in a particular way. Throughout all of history, God was essentially waiting for this time, this place, to use him, like the Bible says, for such a day as this. That's what he's waiting on in you. It'll always happen for such a day as this. For today, what is God wanting to use you for today? You'll figure it out. It'll roll up on the inside of you. And you say, well, what if he doesn't use me today? Don't worry. Today then is still a training day where you're operating in the trust. You're operating in how God's made you. You're maturing. But inside of you, there's something. There's something that God has been preparing from the very foundation of the world to use you in. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for teaching us. Thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit has taught us. Father, we are grateful to you. We recognize that it's by your power, by your ability, Father God, that we walk where you've called us to walk. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Our phone number is 970-359-2424, and our website is newlifeeckley.com. Thank you for listening, and please feel free to share this material with others. Our main service begins Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and we hope to see you at New Life Christian Center.